You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Although Araya won a special critics prize at the 1959 Cannes Film Festival, it's been almost impossible to see in the United States over the past 50 years. Margot Benacerraf made this wonderful film about one day in the life of three families living in one of the harshest places on earth, a salt mine on the Venezuelan coast. And starting next Wednesday, the 7th, you'll be able to finally see Araya when it opens at the IFC Center, thanks to a beautiful restoration by Milestone Films. I'm very glad to welcome to our show Margot Benacerraf, who has come to be recognized as one of the key figures in Latin American cinema, and back to our station, Milestone's co-founder, Dennis Doris. Hi.
Hi, Leonard. Thank you for having us.
Hello.
First off, I want to tell our listeners that this is one of the real lost masterpieces in cinema. Everyone who sees it loves it, from filmmakers in the 1960s to Steven Soderbergh today. So why was it so difficult to get it distributed, Margot? What did American distributors tell you?
Well, you know, it was a sort of circumstances. I had a first contract with Lava Films that holds all Latin American films. But they went failed. How you say?
They failed. They went bankrupt.
Yes, and then we have to wait. And then suddenly, these people thought they felt very bad that the film wasn't going to be shown, and they contacted Dennis Doros at Milestone, and I was very happy that he could get interested and hold the film.
But at the time, you must have thought, "Wow, I've made it." If you were at the same Cannes Film Festival and won a prize in the year that François Truffaut was there with The 400 Blows and Alain René for Hiroshima Mon Amour.
Yes, it was very strange because, you know, it's everywhere in the world, even in China. Let's say that China was the first buyer in Cannes, even before the prices. Then Canada and all over the world, in France and everywhere. But not in the States. I don't know what happened really, because I have a co-producer and he never could get in touch with us.
Well, where did you see it, Dennis? It's, as we pointed out, except for a few festivals, it's never been shown in this country.
Well, as Margot said, when the Latin American Video Archive closed in 2005, Rosalie Torres, who was the head, realized that this was the one film that they had signed that she really wanted out, and she called us. And she sent us a VHS tape, an old one, and introduced us to Margot. And again, like a lot of our films, where the imagery is so overwhelmingly powerful and the story is told through images, we have an affinity towards that.
Well, how did it look on the VHS tape? I mean, now, the with the restoration, it looks extraordinary.
You could still see how extraordinary the film was, but yes, any VHS tape. It was a one-light transfer for subtitling. You really couldn't tell, but that's sort of what we do.
Well, I understand, Margot, that during the restoration process, you were able to correct mistakes that were made in the lab 20 years ago.
Well, especially Dennis found the problems that they had in the LTC laboratory in Paris, and he could restore it, complete version.
Now, what drew you to the Araya Peninsula in the first place?
I'm sorry?
What drew you to this place? And you had wanted to be a writer, hadn't you? At the point that you began filming Araya, had you already decided that you'd rather be a filmmaker?
No. As a matter of fact, I studied filmmaking in Paris in the Institute of Des Hautes-Études Cinématographiques, the IDEC. And I made the first film before on a painter called Reveron that exposed at MoMA last 3 years ago. You know, Reveron, the painter, mm-hmm. at the MoMA. And I made a study on creation and madness because I was very fascinated by the person of Reveron. And I had a big success in Berlin and everywhere with this, and that opened the doors for me everywhere with Reveron. Then I started looking for new things, but in Latin America. And I started working on a triptych, three stories on Venezuela in different parts of the country. And one part of Araya was the coastline story, because there was in the Andes, in the high mountains, in the plain, and in the coast. But I didn't want to make a tropical film, you know, with palms and sunsets and like that. And then I was looking for a new location, and I found that place by chance, and it inspired me a lot, because it was terrible, arid, and a part of the world like in my 1500, when the Spanish came to discover America, until the 1958, when I came to shoot the film, nothing was changed.
This is a salt mining area, very dramatic, very bleak. It films beautifully, but you can't. But it's hard for anybody watching it to imagine being able to live in this place.
It's terrible, believe me. It's very hard to live there. And
salt mines, at least in our culture, are usually described as the hardest form of labor.
Yes, I didn't get that.
Well, if you want to say something, you know, they were working in the salt mines, it means it's pretty much the worst job that you could ever have.
And that's the only job they can make, these people. And, you know, since centuries, it was a very rich mine. It's so rich that the king of Spain had to build a fortress to defend of the robbers, of the pirates, and everything. It came all over Araya to fetch salt, because at that time the salt was as important as gold, you know, because you can salt the meat, everything. So the salt mine was very, very important at that time.
Well, for the Spanish kings, gold and silver were important, and they pretty much mined that took everything out. But with salt, it's constantly replenished, isn't it? Mm. The ocean keeps on creating more salt.
Yes, more, and was as a matter of fact, it was considered one of the biggest salt mine in the world, and it keeps making salt, as you say, incessantly. So he was very rich, but he didn't mind. The Spanish didn't mind, because it was far away from Spain. But instead of the pirates, you know, English and Dutch and came and French to stall. There is a lot of stories about what they call the sea robbers, the robbers of salt.
They would actually come in and steal salt?
No, that's finished. The fortress was destroyed, and the salt mine keep his fame, but nobody came to rob her.
Now, have you been back to Araya since you made this film?
Many times.
Is it the same?
No, it's worse.
It's worse? Is that possible?
Yes, because industrialization. You know, when I made the film, my interest was to show how in Latin America we live by contrast. We, between 1500 and 1958, there was a shock, a shock, a clash. Because we don't have evolution in the time. We pass from the era of non-industrialization to the top of the industrialization. But they didn't study the human problems that we carry on the coast. So now the whole family, there is just one man working for the whole family, instead of those families that work all have different works. So the other rest of the family is just dying. They are sitting on the doors waiting to die, or it's terrible.
Well, but this is also a film about the legacy of colonialism, because even though Venezuela has been an independent country for all these years, you're suggesting things are done pretty much the same as they were done in the 16th century. Nothing much changed for the lives of the people who were working in these salt mines.
No, so they had, now it's not working very well, that industrialization. I got back the last time 3 years ago or 2 years ago. with the French television. They were very much interested in seeing what happening in Araya and to show my film in French TV. And they can verify, and I was very sad when I was there, because it was a sort of decay. All the families are they left Araya, some of them. The other just stay there, just by to be there. But it's terrible. It's not the same. It was hard before, but it was lively.
Yes, you see a lot of films. Few are as physically beautiful as this film. And I'd assume that, considering the kind of equipment that had to be used at that time, it would have been a lot harder to film in the 50s than it would today.
It's interesting because when I was restoring the film with Scott McQueen, we were looking at it frame by frame. And you can see, like with all the pans, I believe you used a generator for the camera?
Yes.
That there was no electricity to run the cameras.
No.
And so here was, it was only Margot and the cameraman. There were only two people making this entire film.
With huge 35-millimeter equipment.
Yes, but for the whole film, even sound... Even sound recording, we made it at night or sometimes when we had a left time. But we were just two people, the cameraman and I.
Would you describe this as a documentary?
No.
But it's not a fictional story either.
No, that was one of the problems because, critics like to just put in a draw, this is fiction, this is the documentary film. And this is a kind of different, I used to say it's a narration made on cinematographer. I was telling a story. This is what happened long time ago and so. But it's not really documentary the way I shot the film, because it was made on a script, a very rigorous script.
It to some degree reminds me of Robert Flaherty or perhaps Gabriel Figueroa's work on The Pearl, even something by Eisenstein. But why did you set it in a 24-hour period?
It was very interesting because this 24-hour period repeats and comes back again and again for 500 years. And this was the basic idea, was the circle, the night and day of this working people in the salt mine and on this part of the world. So it was very important to have that 24 hours. And when we edited, we were very meticulous trying to develop the time during the day till the night.
Now, you haven't made other films, but you've sure done a lot in the film world since then. You served as the head of INCIBA, Venezuela's National Institute for Culture and Fine Arts. In 1966, you founded the Cineteca Nacional, which became Venezuela's first film archives. And then in 1991, created Latin Funda Visual with Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Yes. He asked me because he was in Cuba trying to organize a whole Latin American movement on cinema, but he couldn't get to do it. But in Venezuela, he asked me and he said, "Well, Margot, please do it because you are the woman of impossible things. You can make it possible."
What about getting this film seen by a lot of people? The repertory theaters have closed around the country. They would be the natural places to show this film.
Well, you had this conversation with Amy a couple of weeks ago on air, my wife. There are closings. At the same time, the last couple of films we've had, The Exiles and Killer of Sheep, we've shown in as many theaters as any brand new film, any hit film. We've been very fortunate and very lucky. And I would say this will play in over 100 theaters in the country. And we already have 15, 20 bookings overseas in country, theaters around the world.
Because you have this new print, which actually is better than any of the other prints that are out there?
We've struck a few prints, of course, and we have restored the negative so we can strike more. With Photochem, the lab, we've made beautiful prints like the last couple of films. And, I think that people are excited about it. We've built a trust with the programmers around the world. And as I said, we've been fortunate.
I've spoken to a number of filmmakers whose films have got new prints, and they said, well, gee, this is what I always imagined, but we couldn't do it when I first made the film. Is that the case here with Araya?
I must tell you that I haven't seen the new prints.
Oh, you haven't?
I'm going to see it with everybody next Wednesday.
Well, you'll be very pleased.
Yes, I'm sure everybody tells me, so I'm very excited about.
And the film opens next Wednesday, the 7th, at the IFC Center. My great thanks to Margot Benisaraf, the director of Araya, the creator of Araya film that sorry I haven't been able to see before now, but I'm grateful has finally been made available by Milestone Films in a wonderful new print. And my thanks to Dennis Doris, co-founder and vice president of Milestone, for doing it and coming by to talk to us about it.
Well, thank you very much, Leonard.
Thank you.